Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And I am joined this morning by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
I was going to say welcome back to summer, but officially we're still in summer. It's not fall yet.
We're still in summer for another week or so. Mm-hmm.
Boy, does it feel like it.
It does.
It sure will. I want to talk a little bit about the Master Gardener program because I know you are one, and this is a good time of year, important time of the year to talk about that. But I want to alert our listeners, if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, this is your chance, especially if you're a regular listener to the show. You know how busy we tend to get. So you can call Teresa or you can send a text. Either way, 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Fill us in, Teresa, about the Master Gardener program. Where do we stand right now?
Okay, so you can become a Master Gardener, and it is open to everyone in the state who's 18 years or older. And we open the applications on August 1st, and the applications will close on October 1st. So get your application in. You can go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, and then you can scroll down, and it will say how to become a Master Gardener. We'll talk you through. It's an online course. You will fill out a security information, a background check, that's what I'm trying to say, and then you will be accepted into the program if you're accepted, and you will take a self-guided online course that starts January 1st. It's about 40 to 60 hours. Of course, you can spend a lot more time because there's a lot of different rabbit holes you could go down to learn if you have a passion for certain things. And then during the first year, you complete your 50 hours of volunteer work, and you have your Master Gardener course done, and then you become a real Master Gardener. And many of our counties have mentors that will help you. And I know here in Hennepin, and I think it's the same statewide, but don't quote me on that, if you can't get your 50 hours done the first year, you can carry it over into the second year, because we know life happens. And Master Gardeners are people just like you. They love gardening. They want to learn research-based information, and they want to share that information with their community. And that's what a Master Gardener is. You get a lot of learning through the university and a lot of support with the program. So if you're interested, please look into it. It's very, very, very wonderful and very gratifying to be out in your community. And you get to talk with gardeners who are the coolest people in the world. So have to say that because it's
are,
true.
Yes, indeed. And you are educators.
We are educated, yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, there's no way I could become a Master Gardener, but I've learned a lot from
Why
you
not?
And your colleagues.
You could do it, Denny.
But, I was going to say, what are the qualifications? If somebody has grown tomatoes once or whatever, and
they're qualified.
If
you want to learn
there's hope.
About gardening, there's hope. There's hope. Denny, you know a lot more than you think just from listening to us over the years and a lot of your personal experience. But you don't have to have an extensive background in gardening, in growing things. You just have to have that passion that you want to become a gardener. You might already be a gardener, but you want to learn more about it. And that passion for learning and sharing that research-based information, that's what Master Gardeners do. We're of service to our community, and we want to help our fellow gardeners out there. Lawn growers. I don't just want to say gardeners. I mean lawn people too, and tree people, and everybody who has any kind of, even if you live in an apartment and just want to grow house plants, that works. You can become a Master Gardener. So don't think you're not qualified. Check into the program, and they'll talk you through it.
I want you to remind us that before you take your leave this hour about that very thing toward the end of the hour. Let's do that.
Okay.
In the meantime, Teresa, we have callers. We have texters. Mary is on the horn calling in from Crystal this morning. Mary, thank you for the call. What is your question?
I have a perennial salvia that I dug up from my neighbor's yard. She just bought a six-inch pot, and it looks quite healthy. It's about 6 inches high. My question is, should I leave it in the pot and babysit it all winter, or should I plant it out now?
Mary, that's a really good question. I would plant it out now and treat it as a very tender plant going through the winter, meaning you want to make sure you keep watering it till the ground freezes. And then you may even want to give it a little tiny bit, once the ground freezes, a little tiny bit of mulch around it, some extra leaves or something, just a tiny bit of protection for the first year, because it won't have time to get really good roots established yet. But get it in the ground as soon as you can. I try by the third week of September to get it in the ground, and I would definitely do that. No sense you worrying about it all winter. Just put it in the ground. It'll be much happier there. Good luck with that.
Let's grab another call while we're at it. Robert calling in from Shoreview this morning. Robert, you're on with Teresa.
Hi, thank you. Hey, I've got a shady area that I need to reseed, and I just want to know what the best grass to put in there. I get some conflicting information. And then also I want to kill some creeping Charlie before I put it down. And on the label it says wait 2 weeks. I'm a little skeptical. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so what does the label say, wait 2 weeks until you plant grass seed?
Right.
Okay, so what you might want to do is try to just rake up as much of the creeping Charlie as you can. You're not going to get it all. And then go ahead and get your grass seed done now. Get that in as quickly as possible. You want that up and growing. And you're probably going to be looking at more of the fine fescues. And the extension website, extension.umn.edu, has some really good information about what grass seed to buy and where that grass seed grows best. The Kentucky bluegrass wants full sun, so the fescues can take a little more shade. If it's really shady, you're always going to have to overseed, because grass is a full sun plant for the most part. So if you're going into a shady location and you want to grow grass, just understand that's probably going to be a yearly thing that you're doing. I would probably just try to pull out as much of the creeping Charlie and get that grass up and growing, and then deal with creeping Charlie next year. Until then, just keep pulling it up. That would be my recommendation, rather than waiting another 2 weeks until you can seed your grass seed, because it's a little too early yet to be killing creeping Charlie, and you're not going to have a good response, I don't think.
That sounds
good luck
good
with
advice.
That, Robert.
Yeah, the timing is everything, I guess.
Timing is everything. Yeah. You want to get your grass up and growing. This is Minnesota. We don't know when winter's coming, so we hope we have until the 1st of November, but we don't know that for sure. So,
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney with us this hour on our Smart Garden Show. We get every week, it seems like, about questions about lilacs, and I'm looking at a text that came in this morning. My lilacs bloomed beautifully this spring. Now they seem to be dying. They did this a year ago. What is the situation with lilacs? We're always getting questions about lilac problems.
We are. And there's two things going on. There could be a virus, of course, but it's probably more of a fungal infection that you're seeing, because we've had a hot, humid summer again with a lot of moisture in the air. And for some reason now our lilacs are just getting hit really hard. I would definitely go to the extension website, extension.umn.edu, and look at what you're actually seeing. But what you can do is, bend the branches a little bit. If they snap, they're dead, and you can prune out dead stuff right away. Dead is dead. It's never coming back again. You can prune that out. But a lot of it is just really being hit. The leaves are being hit. They're dropping. Clean up as much of the leaves as you can to kind of knock back that fungal infection, because the fungus is on the leaves and the spores. You want to clean up as much of that as you can. Send it to the city compost. And then just treat your lilacs as though they're nice and healthy. Give them water. If we go droughty, just take care of them. Anything that's dead, do prune it out, and hopefully they'll come back fine in the spring for you. And protect them from rabbits and deer, if you have deer issues in your area, just so they don't have to deal with that too in the spring. You don't want to prune them at this time, because you'd be cutting off next year's flowers. But dead stuff, you want to get that out of there as quickly as you can, because it just doesn't look good and just makes the plant look less healthy. So get that out of there.
Very good. Hang on, Teresa. Quick break is in order. We'll be back on the other side with more Lawn and Garden Talk. 651-461-9226. Right now, 68 degrees in the Twin Cities. We are on our way to 85 today, near 89 tomorrow. Here on News Talk A3O, WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, answering those questions today, those lawn and garden type of questions, at our usual number, 651-461-9226. Before I grab more text messages, let's take another phone call. Jane, I think, has been hanging on from Anoka. Jane, thank you for waiting. What is your question for Teresa?
Hi, good morning. I have another lilac bush question. We have a few very old, very overgrown lilac bushes. They don't produce a lot of blooms. Is there anything we can do to enhance that? And then trimming them back. How much can I trim back at a time? And when should we do the trimming?
Those are really good questions, Jane. Yes, first of all, if they've gotten where a lot of more trees are overgrowing and they're shadier, they're never going to produce enough blooms, a lot of blooms. If that's not the case and they're just overgrown, what you can do is you can do what's called a renewal pruning, where in January, February, or early March, you look at the plant and you like kind of count all the branches coming out of the ground, the stems coming out of the ground. You take a third of the biggest ones out. So you just remove them down to the ground. And then you'll do the same next year and the same after that. That way you'll still have some height to the plant. You'll still get some blooms up top. And by 2 or 3 years, the new growth will come from the bottom. It will be shorter. But after 2 years, it will be ready to bloom for you. So you'll still get some blooms. Another option is you can cut it all the way to the ground, everything all the way to the ground. Just understand you aren't going to see any blooms for 2 or 3 years because you've cut everything down. That it's called renewal pruning, and you can find better instructions on the extension website, extension.umn.edu. But again, if it's gotten shadier in that location, the lilacs are never going to bloom as much as they would in the full sun, and that's just something you have to consider. Sometimes trees in the neighbor's yard or something just start overcoming, and you get less shade, and that's what happens. Good luck with that, Jane.
Dexter says this, Teresa, I have some large white pine trees. When I mow, I blow the mostly pine needles in around the trunk. It's about 4 to 5 inches deep now, and I wonder if I should stop doing that.
Well, I would pull it back from the trunk itself so that there's a little area just around the trunk that's kind of like a naked area, a bare area. Looks like a donut, and then just pull that back. Otherwise, as long as the tree looks like it's doing really well, it should be fine. I probably wouldn't keep doing it because if it's not decaying fast enough, you're going to be getting like a foot of mulch around the tree, and you definitely don't want that. 4 to 6 inches is fine. It's keeping the soil nice and moist. Pines have a very shallow root system, and it's very fibrous, so they need that protection from the sun, and they need that mulch moisture to help keep the soil moist right or in that upper part of the soil. So it sounds like you're doing a good job. Just pull it back so it's not on the trunk of the tree. And remember, when you're blowing stuff onto the trunk of the tree, even though the tree has a thicker trunk, a thicker bark, you could be blowing rocks and stuff that may hit into the trunk and do some damage. It's not likely, but there's no sense doing that. So just make that little donut around the area, right around a bare area, right around the trunk of the tree, and then just maybe find another place for those needles. They make a beautiful mulch in the rest of your yard, too. Good luck.
All right. Very good. Let's take a phone call from Nancy calling in from Edina this morning. Hi, Nancy. What's your question for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney?
Hi, Danny. First of all, I hope to see you on the trip to Austria.
Outstanding.
Yeah. I discovered a really good app that was first, I first started using it for coins, old coins. You take a picture of the coin, gives you everything you want to know about the history and what it's worth. Then I discovered it works the same for plants. And you can take a picture of a plant, and it gives you the history right away, what it is, the layman's terms, and it's called Google Lens, L-E-N-S, Google Lens. If you have that app on your phone, have fun with it, because it even tells me the history of silk plants, too, and what they are.
I always love to hear about new apps. It's fun and exciting to learn about them. And always cross-reference what you learn, because I don't trust everything the internet tells me. But if you've got that good base, then you can do the research. That's great. Thanks, Nancy. That's fun.
Thanks,
Google
Nancy.
Lens.
Good to hear from you,
Google
Nancy.
Google Lens. Good to hear. Yeah, bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Your listeners are so smart, Denny.
They are. Well, yes, your listeners are very smart.
They're very smart.
Yes. We'll round up. I'm looking at a text that came in a bit ago. Will Roundup / black plastic or anything else kill the moss growing throughout my beautiful lawn?
Well, it could. Usually Roundup is more for green plants, and it might not hit the moss. I don't think it would impact the moss as much as you would hope. What you want to do, though, is figure out why the moss is there, and the moss is there because you have a nutrient-poor soil. Maybe it's very damp and it's shady. So if you can ameliorate any of those issues, if you can get some compost worked into the soil, a top dress with a compost, if you can make it less damp in that area to redirect downspouts or something, or less shady, limb up a tree so you can get some more sunlight in there, you'll find that your grass can do better, and then you can just hand remove the moss. In some areas, if the moss is really, really thick, you may want to just Google, my internet is my friend sometimes, just Google moss gardens, and you will see how absolutely gorgeous they can be in their own way. And maybe you could have a beautiful lawn in a sunny area and then a moss garden in a shadier area and not have to fight with it. That's always an option. But I think with the black plastic, you'd just be making the soil less, more compacted and less organic, less filled with organics and moisture, and that might just increase the moss. So I would probably just do a manual thing and try to get rid of some of the moisture, add some compost, and then get some sunlight in there.
All right. Listener via text wants to know if this is an okay plan, do you think? Aeration and fertilization was done last week. Can I overseed today, water every other day, and mow in 2 weeks?
You could probably, yes, you can overseed. Watering, you may have to do it every day because it might be kind of hot, it might be kind of windy, so you may need to water every day. You just want a light watering because you just need that little top half inch of soil to be damp. That's what you're looking for. It's not a full watering down to 3 inches deep. It's just a quick watering just to break that seed coat and wake that seed up. Mowing in 2 weeks, that depends on the seed you're putting down. Some seeds sprout in 3 days. Some seeds sprout in 21 to 28 days. So you have to be really careful mowing that new seed. What I would probably do is cut your grass a little shorter than you normally have it now, and then overseed and make sure that you have really good seed-to-soil connection with that new grass seed, and wait as long as you can to mow, because you don't want to pull up the new grass seed. Our mowers will normally pull up that new grass seed, and then you'll just kind of wait, the new seedlings, because they aren't anchored yet. So you want to make sure that they're anchored enough.
All right. Before we break for weather, let's grab another phone call. Chris calling in from Farmington this morning. Chris, thank you. What is your question this morning?
Good morning, Teresa. Just a question in our backyard. About a quarter of the backyard is pretty sparse. We have clay soil here. The grass just doesn't see it, albeit there is grass there. It's sparsely coming through. The rest of our yard is really strong and thick. I'm just wondering if I should this fall put some black dirt over that area and just put some regular seed, or should I do dormant seeding? Just not sure what to do to strengthen that area up.
Those are good questions, and I can see you've thought it through, Chris. What I'd probably do is, instead of black soil, I'd probably get some compost in there to break up that clay a little bit. there's nutrients in the clay, but they're so tight. So let's get some more compost up there. And if you can, kind of rake it into the soil, into the clay soil a little bit. So you kind of, you're not really mixing it. So I'm not saying till it in. I'm just saying kind of scratch it in as much as you can. And then plant the grass seed that's best for that location, whether it's sunny or shady. And again, the extension website has some really good information about what grass seed to buy for which locations. You may want to try some fescue in that area. That one's a little hardier sometimes. It doesn't take quite as much work as the Kentucky Blue, but whatever would work best for you. And then I would overseed with that grass seed and get that in there right away. Good question, and you thought that through really well, Chris. Thank you.
All right, very good. Hang on, Teresa. We'll take a break for that forecast. Be right back with more of our Smart Garden Show, brought to us by Great Garage Force. Stay with us here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show, brought to us by Great Garage Floors. Just cleaning mine yesterday, as a matter of fact. Fun to do. Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, is with us this morning, answering those lawn and garden questions at the usual numbers, 651-461-9226. Great time of year, any time of the year, to get to the Arboretum, Teresa, but this is such a beautiful time.
It's so beautiful out at the Arbs. The dahlias are gorgeous, from what I understand. And, of course, the ornamental grasses, my favorite, would be magical if you head up to the ornamental grass garden on 3 Mile Drive. The prairie is beautiful. Everything is just in full bloom. It's just that beautiful, wonderful full gardens that we love to see in Minnesota. And, you know, we all have beautiful gardens now, but you want to think, hey, next spring I want to be planting for my daffodils and tulips, so you need to get those in the ground. Then pretty soon you'll be planting your garlic for next year too. So that's something we can do now in our gardens and soon. But go out to the Arb. There's just so much going on. The pumpkin patch will be coming next week. You'll be able to go there. I think I called that the wrong thing. Scarecrow and pumpkins is what it is. And then that'll be through October 31st. The glass pumpkin by the auxiliary is this weekend. So you can get tickets and go see thousands of glass pumpkins. So there's just a lot going on at the Arb. Great classes. Just beautiful things. Bring your friends. Let them have a day at the Arboretum and see how beautiful Minnesota is, because it's just a gem for our state, and we're really lucky to have it.
Yeah, and then maybe, like I want to do this week, is pop over to the Apple House.
Yes, and, the Apple House.
Pick up some delicious apples. Oh, good
apples.
For you, too.
They're All very right. good for you.
Teresa, looking at a lot of text messages, let's see how many folks we can help.
Okay.
This one says, I purchased yellow calla leaves for a pot in the spring. There were flowers this summer, but they weren't yellow. It was beautiful when I purchased. Why weren't there any more yellow flowers? The plant stayed healthy throughout the summer.
But it only bloomed the one time. That's weird. I don't know. Unless the bulbs were forced for some reason, if they were already potted, maybe they were just supposed to be for a spring event, Easter or Mother's Day or something like that. And then they had been forced, so they were out of sync with everything. I would still try to save them, because you let them be green all summer long. Try to save them, and then next spring, get them out again outside, and hopefully they will get back into season so that they can bloom a little longer for you. It could just be if they were forced in the pot for some reason, that just kind of got them out of whack with what they were supposed to do.
Okay. This texter says, I have Garden Cosmo in a raised bed from seeds I had sitting around, and they have taken off. Can I transplant these to my yard garden, and will they survive winter?
Cosmos are annuals for us, so they will not come back next year for you. However, you can save the seeds and put those seeds into your gardens. As the seeds ripen this fall, you can either plant them this fall or wait till spring and then plant them out in the spring in your regular garden, and they should be just fine for you. So start looking to save the seeds and plant them next spring. They're an annual, so they won't come back. However, they will drop seeds in that area, and sometimes those seeds will come back. So you may see some coming back in that raised bed again next year. And if you see them come up, you could dig up those little plants and move them into your garden carefully.
All right. Back to the phones we go. Mary calling in from Minneapolis this morning. Hi, Mary. What's your question this morning?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I have a question about, I bought a bromelide, and I'm not familiar with it, and I asked for directions on how to take care of it, and all she said was, you just put water in the cup of the plant, and it'll only live for 3 years, and then you have to throw it out. Well, that was not enough information for me. How much water do you put in the cup, and how often do you have to water it? And do you have to water the dirt in the pot besides the water in the cup of the plants?
Okay. What I would do is I would first of all go to the Extension website and look up bromeliads, and that will tell you. Think of it as a rainforest plant or a jungle plant. And so it's not going to like bright light. It will like medium light. And it's often very wet and humid in the jungles and the rainforest. They get rain almost every day. So the little cups of leaves, the leaves are so tight they form a little cup. And that's where the water stays. You can water the soil occasionally if you want to. You would just want to fill up that cup whenever it starts to get a little empty. And you should be able to keep it longer than 3 years. That's if you take care of your bromeliads, they'll come back for a long time. They'll be healthy for a long time in the house. They are a house plant for us. And oftentimes they will start to then grow little pups on the side or little new bromeliads on the side. So you'll see little pups or little bromeliads coming out on the soil, like off of the roots of the mother plant. And in that case, sometimes the pups will grow and the mother plant will die, but then you'll have the new pups coming up. So that mother plant may pass after 3 years, but then you should have little pups that come out, so you'll have a house plant for much longer. But I would definitely go to the Extension website, and if that one doesn't have good information, I'd head down to the Florida Extension website. They have a lot of good information on more of the tropical plants. Good luck with that, Mary.
Let's take another phone call, and then I'll get back to the text messages. Jim is checking in this morning from Belle Plaine. Hi, Jim. What's your question for Teresa?
Hello.
Hi, Jim.
Thank you. I have a question about tree spikes. I have a maple that I planted 2 years ago, and I was told not to fertilize it the first year. Now it's been in the ground 2 years. Can I put the tree spikes in the fall, and will it do any good, or should I wait till spring?
Okay, so technically, with trees, once they're planted, you should never have to fertilize them ever again. A tree has a big root system, and that root system is responsible for getting out into the soil and finding the nutrients. You do not have to baby the trees. If you have the tree spikes, I would wait till spring to put the spikes in. The spikes will decay or disintegrate in the soil, and they add a little bit of fertilizer to that small area. But in the future, I probably would not buy tree spikes. I would just make sure the tree stays watered. If you want to do something nice for the tree, you could always add a little top dressing around, away from the trunk of the tree. Just a little top dressing of compost if it's in the grass. Just a top dressing of compost right around that area so that the tree can get a little more nutrition than the grass does. You could do that. Otherwise, you really don't have to fertilize your trees if they're in the right spot. So you should be okay with that. But I wouldn't put the spikes in now. I'd put them in the spring. We want our plants to now be thinking about becoming dormant, and so we don't want to be adding a bunch of compost or anything to the soil or fertilizers to the soil right now. The soil microbial activity is winding down a little bit, and that signifies to the plants to become dormant, and so they then start their little path of dormancy. So you don't want to mess that up. Good luck with that, Jim.
Good point. Texture says, I have a slight slope of land that the soil keeps sliding down. What plants do you think would you recommend to hold the soil? This is also in the shade, too, most of the time.
Oh, this is so exciting. There is a book that you can get online called The Best Plants for 30 Tough Sites. You can download it for free, and you can look on for steep slopes or shady plants. Think about plants that can grow in the shade. Just about anything that grows in the shade, you can plant there, and that will hold the slope for you. So if you have hostas, you could put those in. If you have some old daylilies that you don't care if they bloom super lots, that will hold the soil. But there's a lot of native plants and some native shrubs that, like snowberries, that can hold the soil, and they will thicken, they will expand, and they will keep holding the slope for you, and they can grow in the shade. There's a lot of native plants that will work for you there. You could also go to the plant, to the extension website, extension.umn.edu, and look under Plant Elements of Design, and it's Plant Selection Tools, and you can find a great selection of plants there. You'll just put that you need plants that will grow in the shade on a slope, and that will tell you. That's a really good option. So those are really two great options. Head out to the Arboretum. Look at some of the shady gardens, some of the native gardens that are in the shade, the woodland gardens. See what they have growing, what you love the look of, and go ahead and plant there. You can even plant some of your spring bulbs. If it's not a conifer area, if it's a deciduous where it's going to have some light in the spring, you could plant a lot of your spring bulbs there, maybe some of your species tulips, some daffodils that bloom early, some of the small bulbs that bloom early, and then they will come up and give you something to look at. If you have rabbits and deer, look for bulbs that are can withstand wildlife, that are like poisonous to the wildlife, and they won't eat them for you, so you can still have something beautiful, and then your other native plants can come up. And then use a shredded bark mulch, a double shredded bark mulch, between the plants to hold them. That will help you too. Good luck.
All right. Let's take a quick break, Teresa. Back with more of our Smart Garden Show on this Saturday morning. We're here, by the way, every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Brought to us today by Great Garage Floors. Stay with us. And welcome back to the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those questions today. Let's mention before I forget about it, actually, and we run out of time, let's talk about the Master Gardener Program again. And
yes.
You were hinting to me about a plant sale.
Yes. So remember, now is the time to apply to become a Master Gardener. You can go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, and find out how to do that. It's a real simple process. You can just call your county extension office, too, if you don't want to go through the internet. Just call your county extension office or talk to a Master Gardener. Applications are open until October 1st. And here in Hennepin County, because I'm a Hennepin County Master Gardener, we have a Houseplant Academy starting October 4th. It's a Saturday at the Eisenhower Center in Hopkins from 9 to 12. And after that, we will have our houseplant sale from 12 to 3. So the Academy has like a bunch of classes. You can sign up and take those. There is a fee for that. The houseplant sale is free unless you buy something. Then you have to pay for it, obviously. We'll also have Master Gardeners everywhere there to answer any questions about gardening or houseplants or anything you may have a question on. Planting garlic, planting spring bulbs, lawn care. We're there for you, and hope to see you on October 4th at the Eisenhower Center in Hopkins, Minnesota.
Sounds like a fun time. That's great.
It will be. Mm-hmm.
I want to try to get as many questions answered before you take your leave today. Now, here's one. Is it okay to trim smaller branches from pine trees at this time of the year?
No. I mean, you can do it. You just should not do it. If there's a branch that's going to be knocking you in the head when you're shoveling or something like that, you can do minimal pruning. Otherwise, you should not do any pruning on anything right now at all. So okay. just drink a pumpkin spice latte instead and enjoy your yard.
This listener, Teresa, has powdery mildew on them, and they want to cut down their peonies down now. Is that good?
You could. If they're still up and kind of green and growing, I would leave them as long as possible. The longer they can photosynthesize, the better your flowers will be next year. If, however, you've just gotten to the point where you can't handle it anymore, do go ahead and cut those back. You do want to cut that back to the ground once they die, or if you have to do it now, go ahead and do it now. The longer they can photosynthesize, the better, though. And then just cut down everything and remove it and send it to the city compost.
Okay. Listener says this via text, is this the best time to core aerate my lawn and overseed after?
Yes, it is. And the extension page has a really good lawn care calendar in case you have any questions that I can't get to today. That's a really good calendar. Yep, go ahead and core aerate and overseed now.
Yeah, great. I guess aeration this really fall is really a good one. Good time.
Fall is a great time for a lot of your lawn care. It will really set you up for a fantastic lawn next year.
This listener wants a dwarf apple tree that will produce good apples in a short amount of time. I'm getting old and I want to enjoy my own apple tree before I go to my maker. Mm-hmm. Any recommendations?
I'd probably steer away from Honeycrisp. They take a little longer to come to bear. Otherwise, the apple tree that you love the taste of will be just fine. Most of them will fruit in 3 to 5 years if you do get them on a dwarfed rootstock. And make sure that there's a crab apple or another apple nearby that can cross-pollinate with them, and then you'll have a much better apple season. Good luck.
Yeah, we'd like you to hang around to see those apples.
Exactly. Sure. And head out to the apple house if you're not sure which kind. That'll give you some good ideas. You can buy some different varieties of apples that you can find. And then you can say, oh, I really love the taste of State Fair. That's the one I want to plant. And I want to find a dwarf apple.
That's a good idea. Test it. Yeah.
I have ideas sometimes.
You do. Good ones.
I do.
Why does my broccoli get single tall shoots instead of a bunch, listener says.
You know, broccoli can be kind of weird, I think, with depending upon the heat and the summer and all that's going on there. I would definitely head over to the Extension website and see if they have any good information about how to get your broccoli to head out better than that. It could just be that it got too warm too fast, or it didn't get warm enough fast enough, and broccoli's always been hard for me to grow, and I don't grow a lot anymore because squirrels and bunnies and issues. But and shade is not good for broccoli. So I would head over to the Extension website and get some better directions than I just gave. But there's a lot of things that can grow into why it doesn't head out, and it could just be the type of broccoli you've got to. And when you planted it.
We like to mention that website for good reason. It's such a great resource for so many things.
There's so
many
things.
People put a lot of work
into
that.
Yep.
extension.umn.edu. Check it out. Yep. This spring, a listener said, I purchased some bare root white pine trees, placed them in a 1 gallon pot, in pots, that's plural. I hope to plant them next year. Will they make it through the winter in the pots?
Oh, it depends. I'd probably put them in the ground now if you possibly can. I'd do it sooner than later. They need at least 8 weeks to get situated. If you can't, then I would sink those pots in like a raised bed and water them well, and then cover them with straw and protect them from deer or rabbits all winter long. Otherwise, I'd try to get them in the ground as soon as I can. I wouldn't wait till like next week or the week after or whatever. I'd get them in. They need 8 weeks to adjust to be in the soil. And then make sure you protect them very well if you do plant them out.
I'm looking at what I think is a good question. Can grass seed get too old to use, like 3 years old or more?
It can. It's sometimes it's the factor that it's old, but it's also how you stored it.
Oh, yeah.
If you left it in your garage where it gets hot in the summer and freezy cold in the winter, that just can really kill seeds. You know, you leave it in your car, you know, it gets 200 degrees in the trunk and then it's freezing. How you store the seed has more to do with it than probably the age of the seed. You can always, you know, put out 10 seeds on a paper towel, a damp paper towel, and put it in the in a Ziploc bag, partially open, and see how many sprout. Then you can get a good indication. 5 of them sprout, you have a 50% germination rate. Sorry to do maths early on a Saturday for you. Otherwise, you can just put a bunch of seeds, see how it goes, and you can say, okay, not many are sprouting, I need to put it thicker, or hey, I'll just send all this to the compost bin, or hey, I got a good sprouting, I can plant a lot of grass seed now.
Very good. We have a 2-minute warning right now. For the rest of the show, I have brand new blueberry plants, Dexter says, that were planted this spring. Do I need to cover them for the winter, or can I just leave them open?
I would do at least some protect. You don't need to cover them. I would protect them. The bunnies will enjoy them in the winter, and I'm sure the deer would too. And I would do some top dressing with soil sulfur every spring and fall, unless your soil is quite acidic. So I would do a top dressing of soil sulfur. But I would do something to protect them, even if it's just a chicken wire cage, so the bunnies can't get to them. Just protect that soil a little bit. Maybe put a little layer of leaves in there. They have a very shallow root system, and you want to kind of protect that, especially their first year until they get more acclimated. They're still baby plants going into the winter.
Okay. Can river birch trees be pruned this time of year?
You can prune them, should you know. I would wait until they're very dormant. Late winter or early midwinter would be fine to prune them. I wouldn't be pruning anything now. There's just still bugs are out there. You don't want to get bronze birch borer. And unless you need to prune one branch for some reason, otherwise, please wait until midwinter to prune those before the sap rises.
1 minute to go. Can we plant dahlias in the same place year after year?
Sure. Just add a little compost into the soil and make sure you're giving them fertilizer because they're blooming so heavy.
Well, let's do one more. If I buy a small indoor plant in a cute pot with no holes at the bottom, should I replant it in a different pot?
Yes, please. It needs drainage. They need to breathe. They need drainage.
All right. We have to scoot. Let's do this again. Get on the web and get to the university website, extension.umn.edu. Become a master gardener and get to that plant sale October 4th.
Exactly. And visit the Arboretum and the Apple House.
Outstanding. Thanks, Teresa. Always
fun. Thanks, Denny. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those questions.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.